There is a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pit of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination. It is an area which we call the Twilight Zone.
In a barren, rocky desert, a small shack with a car parked in front.
Witness, if you will, a dungeon made out of mountains, salt flats, and sand that stretch to infinity. The dungeon has an inmate. James A. Corey, and this is his residence. Metal shack. An old touring car that squats in the sun and goes nowhere, for there is nowhere to go.
He gets out of the car.
For the record, let it be known that James A. Corey is a convicted criminal placed in solitary confinement. Confinement in this case stretches as far as the eye can see, because this particular dungeon is on an asteroid 9 million miles from the Earth. Now witness, if you will, a man's mind and body shriveling in the sun. A man dying of loneliness.
He walks toward the shack. Inside, he writes in a journal book.
Entry, 15th day, 6 month, the year 4. And all the days and the months and the years the same. There'll be a supply ship coming in soon, I think. They're either due or overdue.
He gets up.
And I hope it's Allenby's ship because he's a decent man and he brings things for me.
He goes to the window.
Like he brought in the parts of that antique automobile. How's a year putting that thing together, such as it is?
Opening the window.
Whole year putting an old car together. But thank God for that car and for the hours I used up, the days and the weeks. I can look at it out there and I know that it's real. Reality is what I need. Because what is there left?
Turns around.
That I can believe in. The desert and the wind, the silence, or myself.
He lies down in his cot.
Can I believe in myself anymore?
A rocket ship lands. He jumps out of bed, rushes to the window, stows the journal, and takes out a chessboard fashioned from a piece of cardboard with nuts and bolts arranged for a game in progress. Checks that there's a can in the refrigerator. Three men walk towards the shack, two of them carrying boxes.
Allenby! Allenby! Allenby!
How are you, Corey?
All right. They shake hands.
You?
What a place you've got here, Corey.
Glad you like it.
I didn't say I liked it. I think it stinks.
Well, you don't have to live here.
No, but I have to come back here 4 times a year. That's 8 months out of 12, Corey, away from Earth. Sometimes my kids don't even recognize me when I come home. But you've got it made here, haven't you, Corey? Yeah, this makes for simple living, doesn't it? 6,000 miles from north to south, 4,000 from east to west, and all of it just like this.
Picking the gravel.
All right, Adams, cut it out. Well, we've only got a 15-minute layover this time, Corey.
They all walk together.
Oh, look, no one's checking on your schedule way out here. We can play a couple of games of cards or something, huh?
I'm sorry, Corey. If we delay our time of departure any longer than 15 minutes, it just places us in a different orbital position. We never make it back to Earth. Now we'd have to stay here at least 14 days before this place would be in position again.
So 14 days? Hey, look, I got some beer saved. We could play some cards, you know.
Yeah, I know. I wish we could, Corey, but like I said, we've only got 15 minutes.
Well, what's a few minutes? I mean, hey, look, we could play some chess. I built a chess set and everything.
Let's go in.
Allenby. Only 2 minutes are gone. 2 minutes have passed already. We've only got 13 left. Now, look, I don't want to foul up your schedule, but how about one game of cards,
all right,
huh?
Listen, we just don't have the time.
Hey, we've been here 2 minutes already, and he hasn't asked about the pardon.
Smirking.
How about it, Allenby?
You're out of luck, Corey. The sentence reads 50 years, and they're not even reviewing cases of homicide. You've been here 4 years now, so that makes 46 more to go, so make yourself comfortable, huh?
Corey, we don't make the rules. All we do is deliver your supplies and pass on information. I told you last time there's been a lot of pressure back home about this kind of punishment. A lot of people who think it's unnecessarily cruel.
Taking candies from his pocket.
They may change their minds, alter the law, and imprison you on Earth like the old days. But who knows what the next couple of years may bring?
Years? Hallaby, every morning when I get up, I tell myself this is my last day of sanity. I can't stand this loneliness one more day. Not one more day. By noon, when I can't keep my fingers still and the inside of my mouth feels like gunpowder and burnt copper, down deep inside my gut, I get an ache that's just pulling everything out. Then I force myself to hold on for one more day. Just one more day. I can't do that for another 46 years, Allenby. I'll go right out of my mind.
You're breaking my heart.
Adams, you and Carstairs go get the supplies.
Mr. Corey got a broken leg or something?
You go ahead and do what I tell you. Now. That big crate, you know, the big one? You treat that one gently.
They go out.
Brought you some paperback books.
Thanks.
And Corey, I brought you something else, too. It'll mean my job if they ever suspect. It'd be my neck if they found out for sure.
Look, Allenby.
He gets up.
I don't want any gifts.
Approaching him.
I don't want tidbits. Makes me feel like an animal in a cage with an old lady out there who wants to throw peanuts at me. A pardon, Allenby. That's the only gift I want. I'm not a murderer. I killed in self-defense. There are still a lot of people who believe me, and it happens to be the truth. I killed in self-defense.
I know. I know all about it.
Walking away from him.
I doubt if this will be any consolation to you, but this isn't an easy assignment to handle.
Sitting down.
Stopping here 4 times a year and having a look at a man's agony.
You're right, Allenby. It's very little consolation.
Well, I can't bring you freedom. All I can do is try to bring you things to help keep your sanity. Something to, well, anything so you can just fight loneliness.
Hey, Captain!
He gets up.
You want to open up this big crate?
No, not yet. Stay out there. I'll be right out. Gotta go now.
Grabbing his helmet.
We'll be back in 3 months. Look, when you open up that crate, there's nothing you need to do. The item's been vacuum packed. You'll need no activator of any kind. The air will do that. Well, there'll be a booklet inside that'll answer any of your questions. Corey, now they don't know what it is that I've brought, so I'd appreciate your waiting until we get out of sight.
Have a good trip back. Give my regards to Broadway.
Sure, Corey. I'll see you in 3 months.
He goes out. Corey goes to the window.
Allenby? I don't much care what's in it, but for the thought, for the decency, thank you.
Quite welcome, Corey.
The three astronauts return to their spaceship. Allenby turns back, one last gesture before departing. Corey goes outside, grabs a pair of scissors, cuts open the straps on the crate. Opens the lid, looks inside, then back at the spaceship, then again in the crate. The astronauts climb the ladder aboard the ship.
Hey, Captain? What's in the big crate, huh?
I'm not quite sure, really. Maybe it's just an illusion. Maybe it's salvation. Let's go.
Corey holds the instruction sheet.
You are now the proud possessor of a robot built in the form of a woman. To all intent and purpose, this creature is a woman.
There she stands, with long black hair, in a knee-length dress.
Physiologically and psychologically, she is a human being with a set of emotions and a memory track. The ability to reason, to think, and to speak. She is beyond illness, and under normal circumstances, should have a lifespan similar to that of a normal human being. Her name is Alicia.
She turns her head.
My name's Alicia. What's your name?
Get out of here. Get out of here.
She stands still.
I don't need a machine. Go on, get out of here.
My name's Alicia. What's your name?
In the shack, Alicia takes a can out of the refrigerator and walks towards Corey.
I brought you some water.
Put it over there.
It'll get warm just sitting there.
How would you know?
I can feel thirst.
Yeah? What else can you feel?
I don't understand.
Can you feel heat?
Yes.
And cold?
Yes.
And hunger?
She nods her head.
How about pain? Can you feel pain?
That too.
How? You're a machine, aren't you?
Yes.
Why didn't they build you to look like a machine? Why didn't they build you out of metal with bolts and wires and electrodes and things like that? Why'd they turn you into a lie? Cover you with something that looks like flesh. Give you a face. Face to the fang. If I look at it long enough, it makes me think. Makes me believe that...
She touches his face. He pushes her hand away.
It's a lie.
Walks outside. She follows. He faces away from her. She walks up to him.
Corey.
You mock me, you know that? When you look at me, when you talk to me, I'm being mocked.
I'm sorry. You hurt me, Corey.
Hurt you? How can I hurt you? This isn't real flesh. There aren't any nerves under there. There aren't any muscles or tendons.
Throws her to the ground.
You're just like this heap.
Pointing to the car.
A hunk of metal with arms and legs instead of wheels. But this heap doesn't mock me the way you do. It doesn't look at me with make-believe eyes or talk to me with a make-believe voice. Well, I'm sick of being mocked by the memory of women. And that's all you are. A reminder to me that I'm so lonely, I'm about to lose my mind.
Tears on her face. He kneels on the ground next to her. Wipes the tear from her eye.
I can feel loneliness too.
Oh, Alicia, I'm sorry.
He pulls her up to her feet. Inside, they play chess.
Alicia's been with me now for 11 months. It's difficult to write down what has been the sum total of this very strange and bizarre relationship. Is it man and woman? Or man and machine? I don't really know myself. But there are times when I do know that Alicia is simply an extension of me. I hear my words coming from her. My emotions. The things that she has learned to love are those things that I've loved.
She moves a piece on the chessboard, bishop to king's knight 5, and smiles, as does he.
I'm not lonely anymore. Each day can now be lived with. I love Alicia. Nothing else matters.
They lie on the ground next to each other and look up at the stars in the sky.
That's the star Betelgeuse. That's in the constellation of Orion.
His arm around her.
And there's the Great Bear. See it with its pointer stars in line with the northern star? There's the constellation Hercules.
God's beauty.
That's right, Alicia. God's beauty.
That star, Corey. What's that star?
Well, that's not a star. That's a ship.
A ship? But it can't be a ship. There isn't one due here for 3 months. You said after the last time, not for another 3 months.
It must be Allenby's ship. He's the only one that ever comes close. They stop at the other asteroids and they come here. That means we'll see him in the morning.
We'd better get back to the house then.
The spaceship lands.
Corey!
The three men come running.
Corey, we got good news for you.
Grabbing his arms.
All the sentences have been reviewed. You've been given a pardon. We're taking you back home on this ship.
Well, we got to take off from here in exactly 20 minutes, and we can't wait any longer. We've been dodging meteor storms all the way out, and we're almost out of fuel. Any longer than 20 minutes, we'll have passed the point of departure, and I don't think that we'd ever make it back.
Allenby, what did you say?
A pardon. Corey, they've granted you a pardon.
But it won't do any of us any good unless you get your stuff together and get ready to move out, Corey.
We picked up 7 other men off asteroids. We only have room for about 15 pounds of stuff, so you better pick up what you need in a hurry and leave the rest of it behind.
15 pounds? 15 pounds? I don't have 15 pounds of stuff. All I have is a shirt, a ledger book, a pencil, and a pair of shoes. That car they can keep.
Turning to look at the mountains.
That'll be for the next poor devil.
There won't be any next poor devil.
Good. Good, I'm glad of that. Alicia and I are climbing to that ship of yours, and we'll look out the port, and we'll give it all a big kiss goodbye.
Who, Corey?
Oh, my dear God, I forgot her.
He's out of his mind. Who's Alicia?
A robot.
She's a woman.
Corey, she's a robot.
She's a woman. She's gentle and kind. Allenby, she kept me alive. Why, if it wasn't for her, I'd have been finished. I'd have given up.
So that's what you wouldn't let us look at, huh? The big crate.
We can't let this be a problem now, Corey.
Problem? There's no more problems. There's no more problems on heaven or earth. We'll just climb in that ship of yours, and when we hit that big, beautiful green earth...
15 pounds.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, wait a minute. You'll have to throw out some equipment. Alicia, she weighs more than 15 pounds.
Now, that's exactly the point now, Corey. Our ship is stripped right now. We only have enough room for you and that ledger and that pencil of yours. Now, you're going to have to leave that robot behind.
She's not a robot.
Grabbing Allenby's shoulders.
She's a woman. You don't understand. You leave her behind, that's
Corey,
murder.
Corey, now, wait a minute. I haven't got any choice. Don't you understand?
No, you don't understand. She's not a robot. She's a woman. Alicia!
Breaking away from him.
Corey!
Running to the shack.
Alicia! Corey! Alicia! Alicia! Alicia!
Come on, Corey, please.
They grab his arms.
Look, Corey, we just want you to get your gear packed and get out of here. We've got about 15 minutes, Captain. How about it?
Look, I'm not leaving without her. You understand?
Breaking away and taking a swipe at Adams on the way out. Corey runs away from the shack. The three
Alicia!
Men chase behind.
Alicia!
Alicia sits on the rocky ground.
Alicia! Alicia, show them! Talk to them, show them!
She gets up.
Talk to them, Alicia. Show them. Alicia, show them!
I don't have any choice, Corey.
Allenby takes out a gun.
I have no choice at all.
Corey?
No! No!
Alicia falls to the ground.
Corey. 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 Corey.
Corey. Corey.
Her exploded face reveals the circuitry within. Corey stares at her.
We've got to go now, Captain.
We will go now. Come on, Corey. Time to go home. It's all behind you now, Corey. It's all behind you. It's like a bad dream, a nightmare. When you wake up, you'll be back on Earth. Home.
Home?
That's right. All you're leaving behind is loneliness.
Corey turns his head and nods.
I must remember that.
Looks back at her.
I must remember to keep that in mind.
Leaving Alicia behind, Corey slowly walks away.
On a microscopic piece of sand that floats through space is a fragment of a man's life, left to rust as the place he lived in and the machines he used. Without use, they will disintegrate from the wind and the sand and the years that act upon them. All of Mr. Corey's machines, including the one made in his image, kept alive by love, but now obsolete in the Twilight Zone.
Credits. Directed by Jack Smite. Written and narrated by Rod Serling. Produced by Buck Houghton. Executive producer for Cayuga Productions, Rod Serling. Starring Jack Warden. With John Daner, Gene Marsh. Music by Bernard Herrmann. Director of Photography, George T. Clemens. Production Manager, Ralph W. Nelson. Art Directors, George W. Davis, William Ferrari. Film Editor, Joseph Gluck. Assistant Director, Edward Denault. Set Decorations, Henry Grace, Rudy Butler. Casting Director, Mildred Goose. Sound, Frank Milton, Gene Valentino. Animated Title by UPA. Copyright 1959, Cayuga Productions, Inc. Filmed at Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Studios and at Desolation Canyon in the Death Valley National Monument. courtesy of the Department of the Interior. Audio description by Lou Lasher.